But in 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to simply call this beloved or beloved. You'll see from the passage why we say that. But probably because the first word says beloved. Amen. But in 1 John chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world. Now, you know, it's pretty bad if when this is written, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And it's no wonder the things we see now, but we've got good news. He left it here, the next verse. Ye are of God, little children. He's talking to believers here. So if you've been born again, he's talking to you and to me, and that's good news. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, how have you overcome them? Because, well, if you're born again, you believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And now that's a strength beyond measure. We don't really realize that, but it really is a strength beyond measure, because that very statement is so powerful, because knowing that he came in the flesh, that's your vision, that's your direction, that's your focus. Because the life that he lived in the flesh is the guideline for all believers. And if you really think about it, I know I've probably said it 2,147 times, but if we really accept the life and model our life, if the world did after the life that Jesus Christ lived in the flesh, think of how many people would be helped, how many people would be saved, how peaceful the world would be to come. I don't have my own doctrine. I don't have my own will. I have the compassion. He looked among the multitudes as a sheep not having a shepherd. You know, when you see crazy things happen, just realize that person does not have a shepherd. When you see people in great need and great want, David said in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And just that, and this is why, this religion does not mind Jesus Christ coming, but just the fact that when you and I say Jesus Christ, we know that that's God's son. We know that that's the living God. We know that that's God, God in, that actually came to the world as the Messiah. And to know that God himself came in the flesh, that means we understand his full focus, his purpose. And just to have that, that means we know the eternal victory that Jesus had. Because if you know that he came in the flesh, then you know he died in the flesh. And if you know he died in the flesh, guess what? You know he rose in the flesh. Amen. And we've overcome, you know, because that victory itself, that, and when the days get really dark and it seems like there's nothing to hold on to, man, I've got eternity to hold on to. And that means I have a reason to go out and persuade men, knowing the terror of the Lord, the Bible says. But reading further, verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. See, the world hears those that say that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. But that's okay. We said the victory, and we still go teach the reality. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Anybody want to testify to that? That good news? Amen. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Father, in Jesus' name, please accomplish your will this moment, this hour, in all of our lives. Amen. Now, looking at verse number one, just working our way down through the text. First, beloved, you will be spoken to by many spirits. Beloved, you will be spoken to by many spirits. Because the Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they be of God. So don't be surprised that you have voices coming to you, speaking to you, trying to get you different directions, and trying to get you to not embrace the reality that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You know, because again, that gives a focus, that gives direction. And try the spirit, see what's of God. And the spirits that are of God will revolve around you and I having a purpose similar to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came in the flesh, that he came to redeem mankind, that he came to rescue the world. We know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Because the spirit that actually says that recognizes the reality that God humbled himself and allowed himself to come down in the form of Jesus Christ to robe himself in flesh to be the redemption for the world. And that's a spiritual truth that gives hope to the entire world. That means that if you do watch the news and if you do read the newspaper, that bad news that you see, that means that there is an answer for that, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that means that no matter how bad the news gets, there's hope, there's encouragement, that you can believe that God made the way of salvation for every single person that ever will live and ever has lived. And he just needs some way to manifest, to show the love of God toward them, that they might recognize the reality that God really is alive. So you will be spoken to by many spirits. And verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. You know, and also, I probably said it in so many ways, but when you don't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, you know what? You confess that the world has no answer. I mean, think of how many people that actually carry the name Christian. And honestly, can I just be honest? There's times with me, even being a believer in Christ, I have lived my life as if there was no answer. Just by being in times of discouragement, maybe going through a difficult time, being all focused myself, and looking at difficult situations and living just like the world does, because like the psalmist said, Lord, if you're silent unto me, I become like them that go down to the pit. You know, God's people can be just as hopeless as the world has. And like I said, I've been there before, you know, and I missed out on the opportunity when I don't allow the Spirit of God to lead me. Guess what? I don't confess that Jesus Christ to come in the flesh. I know what I say is, oh, because he can't help that one. Or that person's hopeless. There's no way, not that one, you know. But ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome them. Thank God for salvation. I mean, aren't you glad God knows who his children are? Amen. Thank God for that. Even we get messed up, God knows who his children are. And he said, ye are of God, little children. You know, if you're saved, you hear that, you're like, oh, he's talking about me. That's how the Spirit of God works, amen. And isn't it amazing, just little simple encouragements from God, when you just read something like that, yeah, that's me. You have got little children and have overcome them. You, even though our words and our actions don't always manifest the reality of the Christ within, guess what? We still have overcome because of that time and that place where God moved our hearts to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh for me, for ourselves. And we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So it doesn't matter what the world is confessing. We don't have to get caught up in that because we have a confession that cancels out their confession. That because our greater, because you know the confession of the world is a deadly confession. You know why? Because it's a confession about a knowledge that's going to end one day. You know, it's a confession about a wisdom that will have no strength one day. You pick your greatest genius today. There's a time where all this genius, his wisdom, will have no effect on anything whatsoever. It will mean nothing because his words will not stand. And whoever has the strongest IQ that's living on earth right now, there'll be a day where that IQ will mean absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter what he invents. It doesn't matter what he creates or she, no matter what she invents, what she creates, how much money she has, he or he has, whatever the case may be, there'll be a time where that will mean absolutely zero. That's why we have something greater, because Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And since we know he came in the flesh, he raised from the dead. He raised through that eternal life was born. And now as a child of God, little children, in eternity lives inside of us. And thank God for that. We are of God. And he, look at verse 6, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us. You know, and this is true. This is why you have times in your life. It's so greatly encouraging that you run across somebody and you realize they hear me. A brother or sister in Christ. And you think, wow, they hear me. And it's amazing. I mean, that's a blessing, you know. We are of God, Lord. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, and you know, if we know they don't hear us, guess what? Know what we try to do? We just try to reach them. You know, when somebody's not hearing you, don't get stubborn and obstinate or mad at them. Just, okay, they don't know my Father. Lord, how can I help them to know my Father? You know, when we are pursuing the right direction. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, second beloved, series, beloved, let us love one another. So he said, beloved, you will be spoken to by many spirits. Number two, beloved, let us love one another. Now, this is rather unique and important. Several things under this. But number one, through this love one another, we see, number one, the origin of love. Because he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That's the origin of love. Love comes from God. Number two, the distinction of love. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. So love gives a great distinction. Love shows who your Father is, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Love shows if you know God. See, love gives a great distinction. So the world wants to love each other. And I would venture that in the room today, we all want to love each other. But we have to get that defining characteristics from God himself. So we love one another. We have to know the origin and the importance of that love is the distinction, because our love shows, again, who our Father is. And it shows if we know God. Next thing we see is the definition of love, because it says not only let's love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we see love is a person. Next thing we see, in this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love has a purpose. Love has a purpose that we might live through him. You know why we love one another? Is so that each of us maintain a continual encouragement to live through Christ. Because if we don't live through Christ, then we just live for temporal things. And temporal things always have a dead end to them. There's always an end in sight that really, you know what the world says? All good things must come to an end. But you know that's not really true. Because God is good. Anybody believe God is good? Yeah, so all good things cannot come to an end. In fact, the Bible says there's one good. There's only one good. Because Jesus said, why callest me good? There's one good but God. So only God is good. So all good, the only good thing never ends. And so love has a purpose. So the purpose that we need to think about when we're, as we embark on what we think love to be, is that those people we're trying to love is that they might live through Christ. And also we see love is a propitiation. Because we'll just use the Bible word here, verse 10. Herein is love. Tell us what it is. Not that we loved God. That's not the big news. The big news is that he loved us. Because if he hadn't loved us, we wouldn't love him. And sent his son to be the propitiation. Now the propitiation is a payment for our sins. And you know what that means? That means when you're trying to love somebody, you're loving to be the sacrifice for their sins. And think about that for a second. That put an end to all bitterness, wouldn't it? Because when you see sin in somebody's life, well, that's what you're there for. You get it? Jesus, he saw the sins of the world. That's exactly why he came. He didn't stay up on the throne as he saw the sins of the world. He said, man, I'm not going down there. Those are a bunch of heathens down there. Hey, they don't know me. They don't respect me. They don't love me. They're going to blaspheme me. They mock me. In fact, they don't like my father. They curse my father. My father gave them everything, and they want the heathen gods of the world. And he said, that's exactly why I'm going. The people are in our lives to love them. And we are in the lives of people to be their propitiation for that. Because guess what? The person that causes you and I grief, they're in trouble. And God is looking for somebody to love them. And as we love them, guess what? Become that living sacrifice for them. I think that's part of what Romans is about. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice. It'd probably be safe to say that you present your bodies to be a loving sacrifice. Because, in algebra, there's like if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. Can y'all visualize that? Is that too deep? You might not like the algebra. Let me visualize it for you. Because this is important. Okay, if A, not a good A, equals B, and B equals C. We know that A and C are equal, right? Because A is equal to B, B is equal to C, so A is equal to C, right? Are you with me? Okay, so God is life. We'll use a capital. God is love. So love is life. That makes sense? You with me? So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a loving sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So love is a payment. Number three, we ought to love as God loved. Because, see, God knows how we are. And God knows that we need to learn things. He says, number one, recognize you're going to be spoken to by many spirits. Number two, beloved, let us love one another. And, and almost all of us think, well, I'm a pretty loving person. I hope we do. At least we're endeavoring to do so. But now God said, but yeah, I believe you. But now let me show you what real love is. So we let God define it. Well, you have to understand the origin. It's God. And love has a real distinction. Because real love casts a reflection on your Father. And real love casts a reflection that you know your Father. And love, in its clearest definition, is the person, because God is love. Love, in its clearest definition, has a purpose. Again, like we said last week, God uses the home as a model for so many different things. The husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. and gave himself for her, that he might present her before him as spot without spot or wrinkle. That doesn't mean I'm microscoping over my wife to try to make sure she's in line. What that means is I'm to give my life in death to myself. My goal is in such a way that somehow by the grace of God, there'll be enough in me worth that you'll see worth living for in the times that when Satan attacks her and she does not want to drive on for Christ, that she might strive to know him in a greater way so that she meets Christ without spot or without wrinkle. My life is to be a payment for her. My life is to be given for her. And that's what Jesus is for us. And we ought to love God as God loves. So love is a propitiation, is a payment. We see through the children. Again, the mother sacrifices and gives her own body in pain and suffering that a child might be born, and denies herself of liberty. And if you're pregnant, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever watched a pregnant woman, you know what I'm talking about too. She denies herself of liberty, denies herself of life. Even things like her diet is restricted so that she might bring life into this world. She surrenders her life that someone else might live the same way that Jesus Christ lived. That's part of the picture. And our love is a payment for that. Love is not receiving. Love is giving. And guess what? If we all love, we all will receive enough love. Because we all need to be loved and we all want to be loved. If we say we don't want to be loved, it's generally because we've been hurt, and it's easier to say we don't want to be loved than to say we actually need to be loved. And could we all have different things? I've been that way myself, you know, especially guys. You know, we're tough. We don't need to be loved, you know. that's one thing we do to mask it up. And women, and that's why people go through so many issues sometimes, because God knows what we need. You think God would tell us to love one another if we didn't need it? Because God tells us to redeem the time. So love is not a waste of time. Love is a needed essential in our lives. So we ought to love God, and we ought to love as God loved. And that's why he defined it for us. So love with the purpose of somebody else walking in walking with God. Because that's the whole goal, and understand that true love is going to demand that you be a payment for something. You know, I think the Bible says charity covereth a multitude of sins. And charity is love in action. It always amazes me. And I've said it before through the years. If you see different things on TV, especially after I've been in Toronto a while, and you know some different people in neighborhoods and people that get busted for drugs and stuff like that. Or unfortunately, some young man dies. And you know from the neighbors the actual life of that young person. And the mother is on television and defends that boy like he's never had a fault in her life. Because charity covereth a multitude of sins. All that mother can see is a son that she loved is dead. That's what charity does. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity always thinks the best in a situation. Because, you know, that mother, she said, my son had a chance that was taken away from him. Because you know what a mother sees when if her son happens to be a drug dealer or a criminal, if she loves, she sees that if he just had another day, maybe he would have turned around. If he could have just had one more chance, he might not have died that way. That's what charity does. That's what love does. But you think of how many people, and thank you, Lord, people like me in times past, that have even mocked that mother, not really thinking, I'm saying the right thing in ignorance. Well, you know that boy was doing what he was doing. How could you say that? No, she loves him. And the reality is you and I get mocked for loving. What, blessing those that curse you? Having hope in someone that everybody else says is hopeless? What's wrong with you? I mean, can't you look at their life and tell you that person's hopeless? What are you doing? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And therefore, that person has hope because he died for the sins of the world. Amen. And so everybody can be redeemed. So we ought to love as God loves, but we have to recognize, because that's where we get to the last beloved in the passage. Where is it at? I lost my thing. Here in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So, and we need to love as God loved. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So if we love God, now here's the other part of this magnitude. No man's seen God. Nobody's seen God. But you know what the world can see? Through you and me, they can see God's love. See, this is why it's so powerful. This is why we ought also to love one another. God knew that we still would never see him. So he sent his son to love. God so loved the world that he sent his own, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We, even if you're born again today, you've not seen God, but you've seen his love through his son. And this world that exists today, they can believe in God and accept the payment through Jesus Christ if they can just see some people that will show them God, which is show them love, because God is love. No man has seen God any time. If we love one, see this is why evangelism is so important. See, this goes beyond just trying to get people into church. This goes to every fiber of our being, that neighbor that is this just too loud. Man, cook some food and take them something to eat. Take them your favorite dish. I don't know if you need this. Watch their life. See if they have a need and just bless them somehow. Be nice to them. Love them. You know, be amazed what happens if you'll just love people. You know, and they see the love of God in your life. You know, and you just have some long suffering with them. And since no man has seen God, but they can see his love. Man, what can you imagine? Anybody glad God loves you? Hey, man, that's a blessing. I mean, thank God. I mean, and I still remember people that loved me. I mean, you've heard me mention it. Tim and Chris Wallace, Jerry and Phyllis Palmer. I mean, Doug and Sandy Sprouse. It was such a blessing when we went to my wife's grandmother, Mozzie, her 90th birthday party. And she turned 90. We got to go, and we went back to the church as Susan and I first started going to church together in. And we saw the people that taught our newly read Sunday school class. And my wife had shared with him, because she saw him for, and told him how that I mentioned him for year after year, Doug Sprouse, year after year, how that class helped save our marriage and helped give me a mindset in all ways, so many different things. When I want to be me, when I want to argue, when I want to just win, okay, this time I'm gonna get my say. And, Doug always said, I still remember the title of the Sunday school, the class, How to Have a Good Fight. He said, always remember, are you arguing because you want the marriage to get better, or are you arguing because you want to be right? And there's so many times I'd start out and I realize, I just want to be right. Unfortunately, sometimes it was after I argued. And sometimes I'd be heading in there to go get it going. I thought, okay, this isn't of God. My wife has no idea how many fights we never had. Because the ones we had were bad enough, but she has no idea because of Doug Sprouse. Because they showed us the love of God. When Lara was born and they brought a casserole dish over, did they bring lasagna or maybe some type of dish? I remember that simple gesture of love. I will never forget that. I remember being so shocked. Because, I mean, I felt like here I am, honestly, I'm just being straight. I'm in a predominantly white church. I'm the only black guy there. Well, there probably was a handful there. And they just loved me. I never felt like they looked at me. I never felt like I stuck out. I remember thinking, wow, especially my wife lived in Springdale, and it was not up with the times for a black man to be married to a white woman in Springdale, Arkansas. It just was not, it was just not kosher. Or I can't think of another word I'm looking for. But they loved us. And I saw God through. I wasn't born again yet, but I saw God through them because I saw God's love. And then it was Tim and Chris Wallace, and there was other people through the year. My Mozzie, you know, which is her Mozzie, but I call her my Mozzie. But she was Susan's first. But just things like that. I mean, just through the years, I saw the love of God. and people. And that's how I ended up coming to Christ. And even Brother Hardy, then the pastor I got saved under, just loved me and just was there and just joked with me, Frank Rhodes, and just other people. I saw God's love. And you have no idea the difference you make in people's lives if you just love them. Just love them. We ought to love as God loved. I think I've said it already. I'm going to read my note. The world has little faith in God because God is not being manifested to them. We need to love as God loves. Loving as God loves reveals a God that no one can see. Loving as God loves gives a boldness in the day of judgment. You know, the love of God is really a completing part of your life, because herein is our, verse 17 is where I'm looking now. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, what the reality is? All of us know a day of judgment is coming. That's why we make a lot of fearful decisions. I mean, think about it. Sometimes we worry about man's judgment. Well, I better do this because how are they going to think about me? If I don't do this, they're going to think this about me. But you know, love gives boldness in that. Because this, you know, really, this is the only day we know we've got, right? And so really, we should be living today as this is the day of judgment. Because Jesus Christ really could come back right now. And life could be over. And those of us, but if you're walking in love of God, you have great boldness. And you say, man, even so, come. All right with me? Hey, Lord, please. You know, in fact, you know, what a blessed thing that be if he did come. But when you love, you have boldness in the day of judgment, because if you love as God loved, you know you've been living that other people might truly be with him, that they might live through him. And you manifest that love toward others. And oh, what a powerful strength that is to people that all over in everything that you do. You know, it's a terrible thing that if you really think about this for a moment. It's a terrible thing that children, that, I mean, God's children, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to suffer in agony and shame every way that you can. It's a shame that God's own children would be afraid of his coming when he's done so much to prove his love. See, only the love of God gives that boldness in the day of judgment. But isn't it amazing how the different spirits, because you understand, you, beloved, you will be spoken to by many spirits. Isn't it amazing? If we were just to be honest right now, just in this room, small number we have here today, of how the reality of how we really are afraid of ending this life, a lot of our fears would have nothing to do with how God sees us. We don't want to die until we accomplish this. We don't want to die until we acquire this. We don't want to die looking like we failed at this. We don't want to die looking like we don't have this, don't have that. We don't want to die looking like our life was wasted. But you know what? All those demand self-perspective. But you know, love. You know our perfect love casts not fear, because when you're in love, you're pursuing something. It's funny. When I think, I can't remember the first or second time I went out with Susan. I went in, my brother was home, and after she went home, she came over, and we had visited and talked, and we watched TV, and I told my brother after she left, I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry. Now, you know what I did? I pursued her, you know, and it never dawned on me that she might say no. I just said, because I determined to love her. And I just kept going that direction. And even sometimes when I do some dumb things, I just kept going that direction. Because perfect love casts, there's boldness in love. And how much more if we just
Yep.
Isn't it funny? I think of how Satan's done the job, especially us fundamentalists, if we want to call ourselves that, independent, fundamental Bible believing, King James only, double hating Baptist. We've been made afraid of the world instead of just realizing that the very fact that it exists confirms our purpose here. We should go get them, man. It's all around us. Man, what great opportunities we have to love. I mean, there's no bad direction to love somebody. You know, because you look at all these poor souls in misery. And you find out how miserable they are if you just say anything about Christ. It's amazing. And you try to share a message of love with them, and it upsets their apple cart, but they're dead in trespasses and sin. Trying this, trying that, you know. And we know it's all in the Bible. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're blind as a dog will return to his vomit. So a fool will return to his folly. My mother used to quote that verse all the time. And when I finally realized she was calling me the fool, I wasn't too happy about that, but I knew she was telling the truth because I kept realizing I kept going back to the vomit. I mean, the things that I spit out of my life because they upset my life, I just got to do it again. In fact, it talks about that. The passage of the Bible talks about that when drinking, how, you know, you have the sorrows, and you wake up, and yet I would pursue it yet again. I can't think of where it's at right now, but that's what alcohol does. You go and you have the sorrows of liquor, and it affects you, and the next day you say, yep, I'm going to do it again. That's the dog returned to his vomit, you know. But guess what? I mean, a fool. You know what a fool is? A fool is a fool. A fool just doesn't know. They need help. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that means a fool said there is no light. A fool said there is no love. I mean, imagine. Don't raise your hand, but I would venture to say there's times in all of our lives here we felt like we were unloved. And if you've ever gone through that, that's a miserable feeling in the world. That is probably the most miserable feeling you can ever experience in this world. And the second one is likened to the first. We felt like you had no life, nothing to live for. And I venture to say probably everybody in this room has felt that at least one time in your life. Man, what is this all about? This is nothing to live for. That is probably the second most miserable feeling in this world. That's the heart of a fool. And we hear that word, and it sounds so damning, but it's like, it is damning because a fool is damned. And guess what? Jesus, or let me say it like this, for God so loved the fool that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm one of those fools that Jesus came for. And thank God, I'm no longer a fool. I have the Father. So loving as God loves gives us boldness in the day of judgment. Last of all, loving as God loves, and we've already said it, delivers from fear. There is no verse 18, there is no fear in love. Because it's probably, I may have heard it somewhere, I think it says some love knows no boundaries. It doesn't. Because to truly love really means you're not looking for a reciprocation. Love is really just determination. It's an action. This is what I'm going to do. Beloved, let us love one another. Period. For love is of God. Why in the world would we do something ridiculous like just love one another? Well, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not. Oh, wow. Knoweth not God. For God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. You know, isn't it amazing? You know, that's why the Bible does say us to love not the world. Because, you know, when you really love something, no matter what we love, we pursue without fear. I've told you, as you know, and it ekes out in my conversation occasionally, that my love for basketball, you know, and the things I've put my body through the years without fear because of love of a game that means absolutely nothing. I tell you, one of the greatest things in my life, I wrote Pastor Fryman a letter, I emailed just last week sometime. If you remember, Pastor Fryman, he came and preached when we had the retreat out there in Oshawa. And I always remember, I can't remember what his message was, but he was talking about how he was driving here and he was listening to sports on the radio. And he just kind of said, exasperated, you know, I listened to all this sports talk radio, and he said, they were talking about it like it means something. And I find myself even talking to my children. And sometimes, it's funny. I realize how much it means to me sometimes. And I say, Lord, help me. Because I can't remember the last time I watched a full sporting event of anything. But I'll be in a room and somebody just start talking about something. And all of a sudden, it's just like a switch flips in my brain. And it's like, boom. And I'm just, talk about it. And all of a sudden, it hits me. I'm talking about this like it means something. Nothing I notice about sports, too, also, it's amazing, you know, especially having played myself and knowing the pressure of being in big games and competition, it amazes me how condemning it is. I mean, because you see somebody you don't even know, they're playing sports on TV, and you think, man, that guy's terrible. Man, that guy's good for nothing. I can't believe that guy. I mean, let me not say we. And it's funny because it's kind of removed. You can say all these hateful things about a guy's character because he's not playing a game. He's not playing a game. Are you hearing me? He's not playing a game the way we think you ought to play it. And sometimes I wish I could just take myself out and go, what are you thinking? But I mean, I thank God when he said that. You know, because, you know, when you love... When I loved that game, I wasn't afraid of any of the consequences it did to me. I wasn't afraid of the people that separated me from. I wasn't afraid of the lost time that I spent in it. I wasn't afraid of any money that I spent in shoes and clothing to try to play better or get better. Because I loved it. But in the moments in my life when I love God, I'm not afraid of what people think. I'm not afraid of being rejected. I'm not afraid of not being looked upon as a success in this world because I'm just loving God. And even when I'm loving others, I'm not afraid if they reject me. When I'm sincerely doing it in the love of God, I'm not afraid if they even appreciate the love. I'm not even looking for a thank you. I'm just seeking to love. Not fearful if they'll ever appreciate the labor or the sacrifice. It's just, I mean, it's great when you go that way. Perfect love casts out fear. And when you love God that way, man, you don't think, is this going to be wasted effort? You know why we have difficulty reaching people? Because we have a difficulty with our love factor because we think, man, how should I spend all this time? It just might not be worth it. Can I tell you something? There's no lost time in love. Any time you love is time well spent. Because love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. And knoweth God. Father, I thank you for loving us so much. Lord, I wish I really understood completely the real magnitude of what that really means. And I thank you for the glimpse of the touch of what you reveal to me through your love. And I ask you, our Father, would you help us to love? Because you so loved us, would you help us to love as you love one another, as you have loved us? And Lord, I pray you encourage somebody's heart in your love today. Maybe someone came to church today and they didn't really feel loved and maybe don't really feel like they have life. Would you please touch their heart through the message and even this prayer somehow, Father, to realize that, man, that you love them. This preacher loves them. And they have brothers and sisters in Christ that love them. And we all get caught up and struggle sometimes and get a little self-focused. But thank you, Father, that you continue to love us. God, would you allow to be born in this room today a renewed vision of loving the world like you love the world? Because, God, you told us you love the world. But your love demanded a gift
of part of yourself so that the world could be redeemed from their sins. So, Father, could you burden our hearts and lead our hearts, touch our hearts, give us a love for the world like you have, that we truly would be willing to give ourselves our own lives so that this lost and dying world might truly live. Father, if someone here is lost today, would you please touch their hearts with your marvelous love? And just, would you speak to them right now and ask them, why are you running from love? Father, would you speak to any lost souls that are here today and ask them right now, why are you running from love itself? And again, lead us as your children to love as you love. Help us to be thankful for the love you've given. Father, would you guide us? Would you lead us? We ask you, in Jesus' name.